We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Announcements are printed in your bulletin. Do we have any special announcements today? Kids for Christ. Anybody else? Any other announcements? Okay, registration books. Can someone help me out? Most of them are on this side. If you could get two rows over there, then somebody could get those and get this section to the left with that back there. Hey, Pete, can you grab those over there? Somebody get them? Just get these guys over here, if you would. Okay, do we have any additions or deletions to the prayer list, or any special prayers or praise requests? Have any over here to the left in the center section?
Dr. Samples is back. Example. He's smiling.
Welcome back.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers, their cards, and the visit. While I was down, thank you.
It's good to have you back, Gene. Anybody else? Okay. This. Observe a moment of silent prayer as we begin our worship of God.
Observe the interest of the light, Jesus being the light of the world.
Thank you, girls. We have a couple of first-time visitors.
Now, Margaret Goods, where did Margaret get to? Right here with Sherry, a first-time visitor, smiling, and she's already got one on the preacher. And then right on the back row on this side, the little family, Kathy, Sam, and Peyton. Peyton's the young one.
Welcome.
And we welcome all of you.
This morning is in your hymnal on 509. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God.
He is the rock, his words are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, He will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, soil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 512, My Savior's Love. Let's sing 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.
In the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner and Him the Queen. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my Son shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful, beheld Him and came from the Word of Life.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, marvelous. Yes. Wonderful. Yes. We stand amazed how you could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. But you do. And you showed that in such a marvelous way when Jesus came into the world and gave His life for us. Lord God, we thank You and we praise You. Glory to Thy name. Thank You in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Turn in your hymnals, the Renew hymnal, if you will, please. Hymn 104. We'll get Miss Melanie to play through that a couple of once for us, so we'll be familiar. Faith in God with our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's in your hymnal on page 716. Also up here. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into Hades.
The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection from the dead,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the world without end. Amen.
hymnals again, please, to hymn 513, Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
Children's church today.
Hey, everybody, have a seat. Hi. There we go. Good morning. That got me all wired here today, so, okay, I hope I'm not too loud. See this little pin that I'm wearing? And it says above the rest. Well, let me tell you a little story about this. A couple of weeks, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, the city of Franklin and the city of Brentwood have adopted two Army battalions from Fort Campbell. And they had a joint party for them, for their spouses and those that didn't have spouses, you know, the soldiers and everything. And it was really, really amazing to go and just visit with them and talk with them and see them. And I'm telling you, some of them, they lined up the single ones to give them a gift certificate because they had given the wives of the married soldiers, you know, and their spouses a gift certificate. So they wanted to do something for the single ones. So they lined them all up, and goodness me, their faces looked as young as yours. I mean, it was very it was very touching to me. And one of the colonels, the colonel of the battalion that Franklin has adopted, came and sat down with me and presented me with this pin. And she told me that it goes back to World War II, the saying on it, and I apologize, I can't remember what she told me it meant, but you know, she said, when you see them on the news, and if they have this insignia on their hat, that will let you know it's one of our battalion. And she asked me to pray for them. And, you know, we assured them all that we would. And I just thought about how important that is. And you think, you know, sometimes that one person can't do a lot, but they really can. Never underestimate the power of one. And I wanted to share with you this is a favorite song of mine. It's talking about revival. And revival begins with one person. So remember that. You can start a revival yourself just with one. It says, "We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light." Brother Larry mentioned the light of Jesus coming into the sanctuary this morning to light the candles. "Who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain," talking about Jesus who died on the cross for us, "who has bore all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled from fire from above." I want us to think about that. We have so many things to be thankful for. We have a Savior. You know, we have a Savior that loved us enough to go to the cross, die for us, and take all our sins away if we'll simply just come and lay it at the feet of Jesus. We have a wonderful message to share. How could we not be fired up about that? So I want to ask you, along with everyone else here, not only to remember the soldiers, but to remember our nation. Remember everyone that you come in contact every day, that they will see that light and feel that revival as well. But you can start a revival right here in your heart. Okay? Let's remember that. And let the Lord revive us again. Let's go up and sing with Miss Melanie.
Confessing our sins. This is a part of the service that was added that I like very much. I mean, it's one of the main reasons that we come to church to worship God and gain His forgiveness. Our call to confession today is from Psalm 79:9. "Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of Your name. Deliver us and forgive us our sins for Your name's sake." Let us all think about our past week. And none of us are perfect. We all fall short every day. And let's ask for forgiveness in silence. The Scripture assures us of our forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. From Luke 5:20, when Jesus saw their faith, He said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven."
Morning.
Morning.
We usually like to pray over this disc before we put it in because we never know if it's really going to work or not. Thank you.
We express our thanks to the Lord. Our offertory sentence today is from Matthew 25:40. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Ushers, please come forward.
Please, to hymn 237, "We Shall Behold Him." We'll sing the first verse only. "But indeed, we shall behold him."
Oh,
Hearing God's word, our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 13:44-50. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I think he stopped at 46. And there was a misprint in the bulletin, so read with me, if you will, 47-50. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. That is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What are you worth? What are you worth? What are you worth in God's eyes? How valuable are you to His kingdom? The third visit that we have made to the parables of the precious treasure, the treasure found in the field quite by accident, so it appears, and the parable of the pearl of great price. Today we add the parable of the fishing net. The net used to catch fish in. In the parable that we have used in the two previous sermons on these parables, that were not the previous 2 weeks, but in the parables of the treasure and the parable of the pearl, we have looked at this parable from one angle. Are from one direction. I'd like for us this morning to change directions, if we can, in how we look at this parable. Or step aside, if you will, and look from the other side. We've done that for a house. We've done that for a horse. We have to be very careful. If we buy a horse without looking at both sides, we don't know what the other side looks like. Or an automobile. We wouldn't think of buying an automobile and just looking at one side. The other day, it happened to me. I got to looking at my car from the side I hadn't looked at in 4 or 5 days, because I'd already driven over 400 miles in it, and looked and saw something had happened to that other side. And then I thought the wrong thing about that other side, but finally found out the truth of the matter. So we need possibly to look at both sides, or at least I'm asking you to do that today, to look at this parable from another angle. From the angle that we have looked before, that we people are the finders, and Jesus and His kingdom, the kingdom of God, or Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven, that's the prize. So the people are doing the finding. You and I, if we want to put ourselves, if we can't put ourselves in this parable, Larry went out plowing a field and plowed up a treasure. Or Larry was searching for pearls. He went and found this pearl of great price. And he went and bought it. Or he bought the field that the treasure was in. The hidden treasure. The prize being Jesus, through whom we find membership or inherit membership in the kingdom of God. That's a very good interpretation of these parables. Nothing wrong with that interpretation that I can find. Oh, at least one theologian or maybe more said, well, that's the wrong way to look at it. But that's his problem. But I want to take the other side. I want to exhaust these parables, if you will. We've been preaching on the parables most of the summer, and parables of the kingdom of God. And so let's just exhaust this one. It seems so real, if you will. So applicable to our lives. Yes, the other way, or the other angle from which I would like for us to look this morning at these parables, all three of them really, looking at the parable of the net. And from that angle, or from this angle that we're looking today, is that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is the farmer plowing in the field, or the merchant, pearl merchant, or the seeker after the pearl of great price. Likewise, the fisherman in the story, and that's probably no question about that, that the fisherman in the story, in that parable, is God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And people are the prize. Can you see it from that angle? We are the prize that God found through Jesus Christ. He knew where we were already, but kind of to illustrate it, they used it as like a pearl that had gotten lost or was yet to be discovered, or a treasure hidden in the field and plowed up. All of these parables, all illustrations, fall short very quickly. They're just meant to tell one little story. People are the prize. God is the finder from this angle. The songwriter expressed it. We'll sing this song at the end of the service. The songwriter said, I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray. Luke chapter 15. The story, the parable that Jesus told of the lost sheep. Found the sheep that went astray, threw His loving arms around me, drew me back into His way. So I can see from this angle God, through Jesus Christ, being the finder. We are the prize for Him. From this angle, we are reminded, number one, how much God loves us. We're reminded how much God wants us to be in His kingdom. One, how much He loves us. Two, how much He wants us to be in His kingdom. Let's look, if you will, at what God, through Jesus, did to welcome us into His kingdom. And friends, this is not something new. This comes maybe as a reminder. But to some of you, it might be new. And to, this might be that time that it clicks how much God loves me and wants me into His kingdom. How much does God love us? Well, John 3:16 is a good place to begin. And it would be a good place to end. John 3:16. This verse tells it all, does it not? When we come to God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, to paraphrase, God loved us so much. The people of the world, God loved us so much that He gave Jesus. That if we would believe in Jesus, we would not perish, but we would have life eternal in His kingdom. That's how much God loves us. Enough to give His Son to die in our place. Sam Sardis and Nancy Sardis and I attended the funeral Friday. A friend of mine, a fellow minister, a friend of Sam and Nancy. He watched. He sat there as his daughter's funeral was preached. She was 49 years old. She died of cancer. She had been sick quite a while. I sat by Nancy and I turned and I said, I can't comprehend. I really can't comprehend going through this. I didn't want to. I could sit and cry with the family. I couldn't comprehend. The preacher at the service, he said, you know, I know all this that I'm saying in my head. It hadn't quite got to my heart yet. He had been the lady's pastor at one time, her and her family. I can kind of hear it in my head. I could hear what he was saying. But has it really got to the heart? Think about your children. We are told over and over the worst thing a parent can do is put a child in the grave. That's what Jesus did for us. He watched Him be nailed to a cross on our behalf. God did. God watched His Son be lifted up on a cross and killed because He loves us. Because He loves you. Because He loves me. Someone has said, if I was the only person in the world, and of all creation that needed redemption, that God would have allowed Jesus to go to the cross for me or for you, if you were the only person. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul wrote to the Romans, the 5th chapter. In other words, God didn't wait for us to become good people before He came after us. He did it while we were bad people, while we were alienated and separated, while we were still rebellious, while we were kicking against the restraints that He was trying to put on us, while we were even kicking against His love and goodness and His arms that were wrapping around us. The parable of the prodigal son. Again, Luke chapter 15. The father represented God. The father in that story, it's pretty evident that he represents God. Saw the son, the rebellious son, the pig pen son. He had eaten with swine, the dirty son, the one that had lived among the prostitutes, spent all his money on righteous living. The father looked while he was a long way off. Someone said that was a good Mother's Day sermon. That the mother said to that father, you go out and look for that boy. Now whether that really happened or not, I don't see how they got a Mother's Day sermon out of it, but it could happen. But while that son was a long way off, the father saw him. Had he got cleaned up yet? Would he got new clothes after he got home? He had at least got his mind kind of straight. He came to his senses. He was desperate. You come to your senses when you're desperate, do you not? The Father saw him when he was a long way off. God looked for us, looked at us when we was a long way off. One preacher expressed it, even before we thought about Him, while we were still muddy,
If it be from the pig pen or from the field in which we had been buried, the treasure. While we were still covered with dirt, sin, corruption, if we are the prize, still a long way off, His grace, God's grace through Jesus Christ, came to us and touched our lives and enabled us to respond. We didn't have any ability to respond even till God came and touched us. That's Bible. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He loves us. Now what did He do for us? What did Jesus do for us? We are the pearl. We are the treasure found in the field. And Jesus sold all that He had to buy us. Or He gave His life. He gave His life. Gave all that He had. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in the book of Philippians, chapter 5. In Philippians, it is verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Here Paul explains what Jesus did. He set aside His seat in heaven. Jesus had a seat in heaven. The glories of heaven. He was there with God. He was God. And He set aside His place in heaven. He set aside His God stuff. He became a man. He emptied Himself of being God and became only a man. Hear it, if you will, as I read it without a paraphrase. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Let me go back to verse 5. Having held this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what He did for us. That shows how much He loves us. The writer of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 2nd verse, there's a little phrase that says, for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus was able to bear the cross. It wasn't joy when He was dying on the cross. It wasn't joy as He was being nailed to the cross. It was suffering and pain. But He was willing to bear that suffering for the joy that was before Him. And what part of that joy is to redeem us. To joy to Him to see His people redeemed, saved. Jesus set aside His throne to purchase us. It's not easy, but He did it willingly. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Though He was rich, though Jesus was rich, He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. He came not condemning, but saving.
For the Son of Man came into the world not to condemn the world, John 3:17 says, but that the world through Him might be saved.
He came that we, that people, might have life, even abundant life. John 10:10, He says, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That word abundantly has been translated over and over, full, a full life, and a life of meaning, a full and meaningful life. That's why He came, to give us a full life, a meaningful life. The Gospel of John, the first chapter, the 12th verse, the writer speaks of all who believe in Jesus. To them He gave the right, the privilege, of becoming the sons of God or the children of God. These are parables about the kingdom of God. And if we're children of God, if we belong to Him, if we're His offspring, even if we're His adopted children, we're part of His kingdom, right? So, through Jesus, through those who believe in Jesus, through our belief in Jesus, we come to be children of God, members of His kingdom. That's love, is it not? That's love. God really wants us to be in His kingdom. He wants us to live forever, eternally in His kingdom. The net. What about the net? The net was thrown out. And then it brought all in. It gathered up the world, so to speak. But some of them that were gathered in would have none of it. They rebelled. They chose not to be a part. But that was not God's fault. God's desire was that they be a part of His kingdom. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Take your hymnals, if you will. Turn to 508. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. We're going to sing them together. Or I hope that you'll participate in the singing. You're invited to join in singing. 508, verse 1 and 2. I want us to look especially at verse 2. You've heard it quoted already early in the message, but let's look at it again. This is a proclamation, if you will. A proclaiming of what Jesus has done for us. This morning, Sharon Gardner is coming to publicly proclaim what Jesus has done for her. She may have a public testimony for us. Maybe about her moment of accepting Jesus, or when she knew that she belonged to Him and He loved her and she gave herself to Him. Larry's coming with her. Larry's a church member, has been since teenagehood, been in this community a long time. He's going to transfer his church membership this morning. But Sharon comes to publicly profess her faith in Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and to unite with the church and to receive the sacrament of baptism. Be marked as a child of God. Let's stand together and sing together and rejoice with Sharon and Larry. But maybe you feel the call to respond to God's love and say, yes, I want to be in His kingdom. I want to join up with His organization on earth called the church. I want to make it all official. Maybe if you haven't been baptized, it should say, I want to be baptized. Be marked as one who belongs to God. Part of His team. Stand together and sing 508, the first two verses, if you will.
Was the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, and He left His home in glory, gathered on the Calvary. Yet I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the faith in glory.
Congregation can be seated, if you will. Larry and Sharon, if you will face the congregation. And I don't know that Sharon may have a little testimony. And do you feel like giving it this morning? Okay, let's hear it.
There's a part of my life that I have been put under a lot of strain. My mother's simple deal. She's living with me. And I've heard that I was doing this. I get my car and drive around the front of the parking lot to get her things like that. We have been given 6 months. I brought her home and said, put her home. And I was at that night, and the back end of the road was to be white cloth that you can feel like that here is like a beacon to me. So I pulled up a set in my car, and I God, to be part of giving me strength to be free to endure all the stuff that I've been struggling with to watch my mother and her life.
So, our church, being on this corner with that cross, meant a lot. Now, the cross, she asked the other night, they were brave people. They said, come the second visit to their house. And then I didn't stay all night, though, did I? But didn't proselyte too much. But she said, where's the cross? Well, we're going to get it up, but it needs to be painted. Because that testimony urges us to get it painted and get it back up forever. That hasn't even been decided yet either. So, we visited with Larry and Sharon, and she had this testimony, and I thought it was worth you hearing. You think it's worth you hearing, too. So thank you for sharing it with us. And that God spoke to you through that piece of metal, but it represented the cross on which Christ died. Larry grew up in the church, moved up here, visited with us off and on. They coming together. Do you have anything to say? You don't have to, but
no.
You're welcome. Okay.
Always thought
this is my church. Yeah. Okay. Sharon, let me ask you, we talked about the four questions, didn't we? The five, okay. She wants to go the long route. She don't want to cut any short. Five questions, a form of church covenant. Sharon, do you repent of your sin and believe Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the Lord of your life? The Bible, God's Word. Do you believe the Old and the New Testament to be God's inspired Word? The source for of authority for faith and for practice, or to believe and to live by, and are you reading and studying them for guidance in living the Christian life? Church membership. Do you promise to be a faithful membership of this church by participating in worship, sharing in ministry, and supporting the government of the church, and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Temptation. Will you strive, or are you striving to overcome temptation and weakness, grow in knowledge and grace, and practice love in all relationships, being strengthened in your personal discipleship by your life in the community of faith or the church? Stewardship. Do you promise to be a good steward of the life, the talents, the time, and the money which God has entrusted to you, giving of these gifts to the church? Larry comes on transfer of membership, and we ask him this question. Larry, do you reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and transfer your membership and loyalty to this congregation? Let me offer my hand. Let's pray together. Lord God, we just thank You. Thank You that this cross was shining here on this corner. Thank You for Jesus who died on that cross of Calvary that this one represented. Lord, bless this life as she is publicly committing herself to You and proclaiming her faith. Lord, bless Larry as he continues in his walk with You. Uphold and strengthen him. And bless him together as a family and as members of this congregation. In Christ's name, amen. We've often said that there's nothing magic about baptism. Some people say, is this holy water? Well, it's holy when God touches it. Anything God touches becomes holy for His use. Lord God, bless this water that it truly would be to Your honor and to Your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Baptism is the mark of God upon you. His stamp upon you. It's the outward sign of what happened in your life as you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ. As you began to believe in Him. And we believe that the Bible teaches that even we can't believe unless He is working in us and enabling us to express that belief. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not even the faith. Even the faith is the gift of God. That no one can boast in one, their faith being better or stronger, because it's a gift from God to all of us. So, Sharon Martin Gardner, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, bless this your child, and she is marked as one of yours. Thank you. Praise be unto you, O Lord Most High. I want to ask Larry and Sharon to turn and face the congregation and the elders. If you'll make it here first and give your hand of welcome and your hugs of love, and I'll pronounce the benediction, and then you're invited to do that. Lord God, send us forth glory in your love for us and share it with all the world that you love them to. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Lord, let us now depart in peace. Who in thy name are gathered here? It was the brightness of thy face.
We might say,
standing forever here.
Okay.
Thank you.